Before we start season two, episode seven of the Same Old Wombles podcast, I'd like to read out a statement from Mark Lewis. It goes as follows. For those wondering why there was no episode last week, in the wake of Danny Macklin leaving the club, we did record season two, episode six of the Same Old Wombles last week and put it out. I then asked for this to be taken offline as it wasn't appropriate for a Don's Trust board member to discuss these personal matters. Since then, I've come to the conclusion that it's not possible for Same Old Wombles to be proper, independent, unofficial podcast it's always strived to be if I or any of the panellists are on the Don's Trust board at the same time. Same Old Wombles and all independent podcasts done by the fans for the fans should have the right to, politely, call out the club, PLC or DTB or anything these groups may have done or said without fear of recrimination. Equally, all DTB members have to be allowed to continue to hold the PLC and the club to account without worrying about whether anything said in private will be repeated in a podcast or anywhere else for that matter. I have not and would not ever betray the collective responsibility I have as a Don's Trust board member on the Same Old Wombles podcast. For now, though, I feel sadly I must step down from being part of the podcast for the duration of my time on the board. It's been a blast, which I thoroughly enjoyed and hope to do so again in the future. As Arnie says, I'll be back. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Welcome, my friends, to the Same Old Wombles. No one doubts the way you feel. No, your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed. The way the fans approach this test. The days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game. And tough decisions must be made. So, Adam, I wondered if you might want to say a little bit about, because it was just you and I who were at the game on Saturday last week. No, you can then jump in, mate, with your angry face. Adam, I wondered if you wanted to give us a little bit of a review of the Stockport game last week. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, what was the game? Blimey, I wish I'd been thinking about the game. Yeah, it was a bit. Yeah, the referee turned out to be rubbish, which was rather annoying. Or the officials turned out to be rubbish. What I mean, yeah, I kind of.
It didn't help that we had two Stockport players on loan, so we couldn't play. We couldn't play arguably one of our best centre backs and a guy in midfield. So we were a little bit cut out. And obviously Al Hamadi being away on international duty, winning the coveted King's Trophy.
Yeah, the quick version was we were on the back foot for the whole game, from what I could tell. And it was stressing me out the whole match, you know. And although we went, we should have sorted it out, but we didn't. So, you know, it was a bit frustrating. But I think that in terms of, afterwards on reflection, we didn't have the strongest squad. I think we made all the right changes. The referee was a nightmare, but what can you do about that? It was a bit of an odd game in the end. I know I had weird trains, and so I made all the effort to go there and wasn't feeling very well either, and thought we'd do fine. And yeah, it was like not. I don't know if it was worth it, but I kind of enjoyed it.
I was texting to our WhatsApp group, just about to text. This is the worst performance I've seen from us. This season, it's not been great, and then we scored. then we got our comeuppance. It was, it wasn't good. And I mean, like, we were missing key players, and still were missing Jake Reeves and Armani Little. But it wasn't our best performance. So obviously, I'm nervous about this Saturday because Crewe went to Forest Green and won 4-1. So,
but this Saturday's. But the good thing about this Saturday is it's Fiver, isn't it? So I get this out by the time we get out. Hopefully it was sold out anyway. But so Fiver for tickets for people who have not got tickets, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. We can come along to Fortress Bow Lane. The only what's it called? Poorest fortress that there is.
Yeah.
I was looking back over the last over this time last season, and I think we've got 8 points after seven games, and now we're on 10 points after seven games. So, you know, although we lost a couple this time last season, this time we've only lost one. But it just, you know, I think Crewe's quite a big game, to be honest with you. I think it feels like quite a big game, because we're going to have some players back. Admittedly, not Reeves and not Little, but maybe not Little. But it feels like,
well, we need to win at home, which is what I said Saturday. It's like we need to win, and we didn't. You know, we need to turn around our home form in some capacity, just because it'll just be buzzing. You know, I don't know what you can hear when you come off the pitch, but you know, imagine everyone leaving when we won. That kind of, you know, that energy would kind of seep through the walls, wouldn't it? Down to where the players are getting sort of the debrief and whatever. So yeah, we need to win when we're at home.
A win a league, mate. We can. I mean, look, maybe we should just tell people that it's a cup game, and then they might. It's not a league game; it's a cup game tomorrow. Go and prepare for it like that. Now, are you looking forward to the game on Saturday, mate? Before you get stuck in,
I'm just cross. That's it. I can't even think about it. I'm like, you know, as an ex Don's Trust board member, right? What is going on is just, I kind of get where Mark has happened and what's happened with him. And the whole collective responsibility, kind of fine, but it just feels like a little bit of a shitstorm. And, you know, there are a number of things that are just, I'm just going to crack on and just go and rant and, like, you know, whatever. So
I'll jump in. I'll jump in and let Adam rant as well. You could do some ranting to start with, mate.
All right, cool. So Danny Macklin, let's start with Danny. Right, Danny was somebody that I knew really well, really good, one of the best CEOs that we had. Something's obviously gone wrong. If we just take it on face value that Danny Macklin was putting all those hours in, working 6 days a week away from his family, and that was causing all sorts of trouble, which potentially is true. I've got real strong suspicions this stuff. Also, the whole social media flack he was getting also played a significant part in it. I'm pretty certain about that. For me, if we've got a club where somebody has to step down because of that amount of workload and that amount of stress that's happening in their family life, you've got serious structural issues within the club, because where's the duty of care? Where's the well-being? You've got a bloody good CEO and you've overworked him, burnt out. He's not had the protection or support that he needs internally. And that raises huge question marks. We are not going to be able to get people of Danny's quality in the club that often. It's a real rarity. And we've blown it. And we've blown it because there must be something structurally wrong within the club for Danny to feel like he has to walk away. That's where I'm at with it. And it just feels, yeah. I've got issues because I think it's the PLC. I think it's the PLC that's the issue here.
Yeah, Adam, what do you want?
Yeah, let me follow on for that, because obviously episode six is we, Mark asked me to take it off, so we took it off. But we discussed this stuff in general in terms of like what our concerns were. And that was purely based on, like, for me, because I don't know Danny Macklin, from Adam, you know, was based on what I'd seen on Twitter and his engagement in terms of, you know, other social media, and his response to, you know, instant kind of responses to my email and other people was that, and he clearly was kind of getting burnt out in different ways, right? And I said on the episode that we won't release, that, you know, the COO should be supporting this, and there's obviously some sort of issue where we haven't done our due diligence to look at someone who's clearly starting to burn out in different ways, to give them the space that they need, and that lies with Mick Buckley in my mind, and I said that last week. So that is worrying, because if I think that from just reading a tweet and sort of various things, well, if you're trying to recruit to that position, that's a little bit of a concern, because people outside are going to see that and think, well, do I want to step into somewhere where maybe I don't get the support from my line manager in the ways that we would expect? So yeah, I'm Yeah, so yeah, I'm just talking about the Danny Macklin thing because I think
exactly. I mean, and I think for us this is a big issue because we've seen the club change structurally under Danny. It felt like we were going on the right route. There were lots of great things being put in place. He was incredibly present. He was always there. And the trouble is we just simply don't know if he'd spoken to Mick a while ago and expressed his concerns and said, this is where I've got to. And if Mick had said to him, Danny, is there anything we can do to help? What can we do to help? We don't know if that conversation happened or didn't. And this is the problem. So it's now us who are making assumptions because we simply don't know. There's no transparency in that decision making process. What was the conversation that Danny had? When was that? Why was he allowed to give a short period of notice? What is the next step? Because obviously we've got Chris stepping in for now, and again that feels slightly uncomfortable. I like Chris. I like everything that he stood for. It just feels a bit weird, and we don't know what the process now is for recruiting. So it just feels like we, as the owners of which we are, it just feels like we're a little bit in the dark. Niall.
Yeah. So I mean, I've got. Look, I mean, I just feel that it should never have got to that point because it's got to be right. It's like when you're doing appraisal, any decent organisation, the flag should have gone up. The kind of protection of Danny should have happened a long, long time ago, right? And if you've got him on 4 days' notice, right, something's gone seriously wrong. And that's what we told. I'm going in 4 days, right? I'm sorry, that's really poor. And I just think my concern. I've got loads of them. I've got an issue about the person who's just come on board on the DTB. You know, because it doesn't reflect what that voting was in the last DTB, right? Ed League is the reason why me, Sav and Charlie all stood for the DTB. That was one of the primary reasons because he was one of the people that was willing to sell the club out, right? Lose the kind of fan ownership, which at that time was massively important. Whenever we've done a survey, fan ownership always happens to be the number one concern of Don's Trust fans, right? That Don's fans. That is the reality. It always has been. I mean, it's a debate that should never have happened. Yet here we are, one of the people that was organised behind all of that, now on the board, right? I'm sure Ed does a fantastic things in certain ways, but that just sends out, that's not, for me, feels good.
Niall, just to quickly jump in there, we do know that Ed is not, we understand that Ed is not standing in the next election. So he's already been brought in.
That is not representative. Like, and that's because I look at that, and that's because Ed is on the same. Like, I've got issues about.
I understand.
I would like to see a new chair come in. I think it needs to be some. I think we need to look at that. And I think we're now struggling with quorum on the board. How many people are supposed to be on quorum? I think we should be having new people appointed on a more. New elections potentially, even though it's just a couple of months away. I just feel it's just not stable. On the PLC reform, one of the big issues I've got is that the reform structure is that we're supposed to have two non-executive directors going onto the PLC. They have better well be representative of the community and of fan ownership. Those are the people that should come on board. There should not be another big, huge money person who's interested in doing that. Because think about who's on that, who are the NEDs at the moment. You've got people there who are either big investors in the club or like minority shareholders. Right? That PLC board, the other two NEDs must come from people who represent the community base, represent what fan ownership's about. Otherwise, we're going to have an unbalanced PLC. And I think that needs to be a PLC that respects the ethos of the club. And that means somebody like Danny doesn't feel like he has to leave. And then we have that proper community spirit that is at the heart of AFC Wimbledon being formed. And I don't believe that the PLC currently has that as their central ethos. I've got real issues with that. And I think that needs to change.
It's a good point. I mean, I think, Adam, I'll just come to you in a sec. I mean, just it's a good point. And I think one of the things that we're now concerned about is who is really leading the club, who has the final say on the club. Is it the DTB or is it actually the PLC? And I can see that for certain things, you need to delegate responsibility to the PLC. But it feels like at the moment, most decisions and the direction of the club is being led by the PLC and not the DTB. And even, you know, we it's very difficult to get a voice from the DTB now. And even, I mean, I think it would have been great for Mark to have stayed on the podcast to have had a consistent report back from the DTB. Now it feels like kind of like being silenced. So I know this was Mark's choice. He wasn't pressured. This was his choice. But it just does feel like, you know, where do we get our regular things from? And it always comes from you know, pro boards, which people find difficult to access, to be honest. You know,
the great thing about Danny was
he responded on Twitter or he responded on Facebook, which are accessible things. Nigel, I want to come to you a sec, but Adam, you've had your hand up, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I know Niall obviously has a lot of experience in this space and understands the dynamics better than us. But I do think it's important that we bring in, like myself and Matt, really some perspective where we don't know all those pieces of the puzzle, because I think it's important. And one of the things, obviously, is that I try and work out how to frame this. We're fan owned, right? And so that means I'm an owner, Matt's an owner, Niall's an owner, everyone who sits, who's a Don's Trust member, is an owner, right? And what has happened hasn't been communicated to the owners in any capacity whatsoever. The statements weren't statements. The new statements aren't statements. We were told to wait on this, remove this, because we were going to get statements. And all we got, all we were waiting on was a restructuring that meant, because they couldn't tell us anything, because Chris Stewart had to step down from various other positions because they couldn't put him on the PLC board. That was a statement we were waiting for. That wasn't the statement we were waiting for. The statement we were waiting for was to answer the questions as to how we've lost someone who has been positive to the club, gave 4 days' notice, and has disappeared. And now we find ourselves structurally in a really, really problematic place. You know, someone has stepped, I can't remember who, someone else stepped down from the Don's Trust board. There was a space before all this. Now there's a change. Chris has moved. They brought in this, they brought Ed back in, who I totally do not want anywhere near the Don's Trust board as an owner. And that's why I didn't vote for him. And I've been vocal about that before, because I don't want people on the board who misrepresent the vast majority of the owners, which we know don't want to go anywhere near a position where the ownership model changes, that the fans don't have the final say. And so that's a really, really painful, right? And how do I don't know the model of how you communicate what's happened to the owners in a confidential manner when the owners are all the fans. Maybe you do have to use pro boards or whatever. But then you go and look at pro boards, and oh my word, right? I mean, I do look at it. I haven't looked at anything today in the last couple of days on any of the things, because I don't really want to kind of, I want to bring my point of view and not necessarily get coloured by other points of view. But there was a various threads that were talking about what's going on when Macklin stepped down. And yeah, they're a bit difficult to find and whatever. And then suddenly I go on there and there's all these threads. This, my stuff's been deleted. Where's my stuff? Where's my stuff? And there'd been a sort of an administrative decision to sort of pool all the threads together into one mega thread so that it was easier to read. But none of that was communicated. None of that was communicated. So now the thread where I post about we had episode 6, which is now gone, you know, is mashed into a whole load of threads. And people are like, oh, where's it gone? Of course, they didn't know we pulled it and we couldn't really talk about why we pulled it. And we, like I said, I pulled it because of Mark. You know, if you look at the election, I don't want to be on the Don's Trust board, right? I've already said that. I've got too much stuff going on. But if you look at the last elections, I was the next one on the list. And then someone left and I was never asked anything. Now there's a change and I've never been asked anything. And I don't want to be asked anything at this point, right? Because I've made it clear on this podcast, I don't want to do that now, because I wouldn't be able to put stuff in, but I have offered services in different ways. So I don't know what's going on. Like, I can only, if I want to step on a positive thing, and I want our podcast to be positive in lots of ways, the only positive thing I can see by taking someone who's previously been on the board, like Ed, and I don't know what the, and you'd have to do the number game, right? And I would do the numbers game on that and say, well, who was the most appropriate person based on the last votes and whatever, who had experience of being on the board. Let's bring them on for this temporary position because we need someone who can slot in and gets it. Whereas if you took me, the onboarding and all that kind of stuff would just make it obviously inappropriate, as much as I think I could probably get up to speed faster than a lot of people. But anyway, so I'm just like, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
Adam, it's good. I mean, and I think, no, I'm going to come to you in a second, but I just think the one thing which is tricky is that, you know, we are huge advocates. We are advocates of fan ownership. This is the model. This is the model we're buying into. And I think we all agree that. But at the moment, it's a bit of a, it feels like a bit of a mess. And my concern is that if it doesn't get sorted out, if there's not a real transparent correspondence about why things have happened and what was the process, you know, it doesn't have to be in full detail. Give us a report and also outline what the recruitment process is for a new CEO and how long we think it's going to take. If we have that in place, that will help, because all it takes is this and a bad result against Crew or a bad few results, and all of a sudden we are back to where we were, where everyone is like going crazy, and it brings things down. And I think Niall, you're right in saying that we need fresh blood at the new DTB. And so hopefully they're going to start these elections soon. But Niall, you want to come back to you, mate?
Yeah, on that. I mean, what gets me is there are a load of us that stood down at the last election. If you're after an interim role, right, and you're after people that cared about and had that kind of institutional knowledge of what was going on, right, you've got Charlie, Graham Stacey, Hannah, Luke McKenzie, Zav. You could go further back. You could have picked Luke. You could have picked Nicole Hammond, Lou, right, loads of people, all pro-fan ownership, all with really good experience, or with something to add to the board. Any one of those would have been appropriate. And remember, we could actually still co-op more on, right? So there are other people that could have come on. If you're talking about an interim period, there's a whole load of people with that kind of experience that you just pick up the phone and you say, look, do you fancy it? Because those are people that would be proper representative. The other issue I've got on is on the comms side, right? Because when I was on the DTB, there was, I would say, a peak year where we achieved an awful lot. And we embedded an awful lot of change that kind of took a year or two to come into play. And I think that's really significant. But that was under a really dynamic leadership. You know, and Jane Lonsdale's another one you could put into the mix for this as well. And that's kind of what we needed. You needed a bit more of that, because we're not getting the information. And I know the frustration from when I was on there, and there was a comms group, a DTB comms group for which I was in with Hannah Kitcher and Charlie and Graham. And we were pushing constantly to try and get as much accurate comms out all the time. But we were getting pressure from some of the people that were on the PLC and other areas that weren't that keen on us being that transparent. Right. And we were all pro collective responsibility and all the rest of it. But we were ultimately waiting for the sign off sometimes of the chair or the vice chair of the DTB. And sometimes because they were being on that PLC group, because that's what they are when they're chair and vice chair, we weren't getting the information out. And I look at it now from outside just thinking there is a real problem, because I think the PLC currently has a stranglehold over the DTB. And we're not seeing a DTB able to be giving out the communications to the level that we need and we would want to see and we would expect from a club that is supposedly owned by its fans. Because at the moment, for me, it feels like this is a club that is being controlled by minority stakeholders. That is not right.
No, I think, again, it's a structural thing, right? The PLC and the people there, you know, are a particular thing, and there's the operations of doing stuff, right? And the Don's Trust Board is supposed to be oversight, and their oversight is to basically ensure that any decisions the PLC make match the ownership model that we've given them by voting them as DTB members, which is fan ownership, you know. And so it just feels like a real mess right now in that in the structural, yeah, like you say, Noel, like who's in charge here? Like who's in charge? As far as I'm concerned, I'm in charge, and the people I voted for on the Don's Trust board represent me. And okay, I don't want them to all come back to me with every kind of thing and whatever. That's why we have the voting mechanism. I pick the people who I think at the most represent what I want. And as all of us on this podcast, what we feel is the best way to run a football club is for it to be owned by the fans. And the fans own the majority of that club, and that allows them to determine the direction of travel. And that direction of travel chooses the sponsors, you know, the type of community engagement, all those kind of things. And that, you know, and I didn't find out until today that Ed Leake had been appointed as a casual board member. And that just doesn't make any sense. Based on all the voting and all the data from the last thing, that doesn't make any sense based on what he wrote and what he said. It doesn't make any sense because it doesn't match the majority of people. And again, what Matt says is like, you know, we've seen it because a lot of, you know, people start complaining. A small amount of people start complaining and get a lot of noise. And that's what happened before. And they were like, oh, we've got to sell out. And wow, we didn't need to sell out. Amazing, right? You look at the bonds at the moment. People are like, oh no, the bonds are going to be in real trouble. Da, 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 da. You know, and obviously I had to meet the Don's Trust members this week. And Michelle reported back on the surveys that they've been doing of the bond holders. And it's really positive, actually. Even in a massive, you know, cost of living crisis, the kind of return the people that hold those bonds want is better than expected, actually, in lots of ways. And it looks positive, etc. Yes, there's things to be done, and it sounds like they're doing those kind of things. You know, and I don't want to get back to a position where, yeah, we lose on the weekend and suddenly the noise of the minority, and it is the minority, and I've said that before, and I'm going to keep saying it, go, well, we need to just be like Newcastle or whatever. I don't want to be like Newcastle. I don't want to be in that, you know. And nor does the majority of people who own our club.
I agree. And we need that clarification. We need that transparency. I mean, we were been on the Don's Trust board website, which I find quite confusing to navigate, to be honest with you. And it's interesting that they're looking for a comms savvy person to help them with their so good luck there. And also, you know, I noticed that there's been some stuff on X, formerly obviously Twitter, and you know, there's been stuff there about what was the recruitment process like for Ed, and making sure that they'd gone through the correct procedures, and they, you know, understand that they have been talking to the supporters association, and you know, correct procedures have been followed, but it feels to me like we probably need to be having some sort of SGM, and I'm quite surprised that something hasn't been called, really. Maybe now we're calling for it. We would like to call for an SGM of the DTB to clarify some of the questions, some of the points, because it does feel cloak and dagger. It perpetuates people's feelings about fan ownership, which is that, you know, it's not working, or that it's actually just a cobble of people who are at the top who keep making the decisions. So I think that we should be calling for an SGM just to answer some of those questions. And maybe people come back to us and we go, okay, we understand. But right now, it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like we've been consulted. It doesn't feel like we're getting the information. Niall.
Before Niall jumps in, because he's going to say something really good, I'm sure, I just want to say one tiny thing. We can keep saying it's a comms issue, but all the stuff we're talking about is common sense. Like, you just think, when those things happened, all of us thought, as soon as we knew about it, we're like, well, there's some things that people are going to be worrying about, so we might need to think about addressing them. If you want to park yourself as a comms, none of us are, Niall is, but none of us really know, none of us are comms trained. It's not a comms issue. It's like, think about the common sense about the ownership model. Think about a common sense, and then.
Yeah. I mean, I think that they put something. I don't know what the JD is. I haven't read the JD for it, but I know that they're looking for a comms person to come in. Now let's wind him up. Let's get him going, Niall. What have you got?
We need to tackle that core and make that core properly beat with a heart that is fan owned in its heart and its passion. And I don't think that the PLC does that. And I think the movement of Ed Leake is a step in the wrong direction. And I think that the people on the Don's Trust board who are on the board now need to basically grow some and actually stand up and represent the things that we voted for. Because we voted for fan, we vote for most of the people on there are people who are passionate about fan ownership. I want them to be shouting and screaming about it and saying, right, well, we need to get our comms out and we need to be properly marketing ourselves as a fan-owned club and tell us, the owners, what is going on. Because at the moment, that isn't clear. And bravery on the board.
No, how's your day been?
My day's been shit at work.
Just putting this in context, okay? Brother's had a bad day. He's coming at you. But he's giving you some truths. Listen, chaps, I know that I think this is a short one and we could just bang on about this forever and I don't want us to be repeating ourselves here. Unfortunately, I haven't got a funky game at the end. We haven't put the five-a-side thing together. So sorry. I know listeners, that's the one thing at the end, it gets towards the end of our podcast. That's the one thing they want to go on, choose out, you know, a five-a-side team. And it was going to be from the combined counties league. But genuinely, when it comes to it, we may have a selection of goalkeepers to choose from. I can only remember Glenn Shimwell or Andy Little. So those would be your two choices. And as for defenders, it's Danny Oakins, pretty much. We lived in a Danny Oakins world, didn't we, really? And then obviously Shane Smeltz up front. I mean, Sheeran obviously is brilliant, but Smeltz, you know, he did play for New Zealand. I've named a five-a-side.
Little Butts and Big Butts.
Yeah, that's true. And obviously Bassey has to be in there as well in the midfield machine. Do you know what? Sod it. Karen, what, you know, Adam, I mean, you loved all the CCL team, didn't you? You loved that time. You could come up.
You could take that bunch of five or six players that in a game, I think it was against Greenford United, well, when the players went down and they all stamped all over him and may have thumped him. That would have been Danny Oakins, Joe Shearing, Gavin Bulger, that bunch of like crazies that were like just the second birth of the crazy gang, that lot.
Our heroes. I mean, these are the people that we entrusted with our name, with our rebirth. You know, these are our original heroes who, you know, and what a time that was back in 2000. I can't even believe it.
2002, 2003.
Crazy, isn't it? 21.
With Andy Sullivan with his one trick that we all loved.
Yeah, he was brilliant. I Andy Sullivan was immense. And I'm upset.
We could get Andy Sullivan on the pod.
I'm upset. We must talk to Andy Sullivan. And Bass, I love Bass as well. I mean, I just thought what was sad is that in all of his time with us, he never scored, did he? I mean, and he was with us for ages and Bassey never scored a goal. I think one point they even gave him a penalty and he missed it. So I'd say we get him back on the pitch just for a game. Just see if we can get him
playing one of the Pizza Cup games.
Yeah, exactly. But Adam, were you around watching? Were you there at the start in that CCL's time?
Yeah. The problem is I don't remember who played, but I did enjoy it. And the thing I mainly enjoyed was just going to the random away games, actually. I was able to do it then. And, yeah, just sort of wandering down various streets thinking, there can't be a football ground at the end of this path or this. Surely this is houses everywhere or whatever, you know, or I'm in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
It was
I love Farnham. Farnham Away, which is a beautiful little Surrey village. And there were 2,000 people, and like, obviously being Wimbledon fans, we were all ordering like lamb with red wine jus and Dauphinoise potatoes while drinking a bottle of Merlot, as we do in a really nice fancy pub. And they were like, "What are all these 2,500 Wimbledon fans doing in my nice little village?" Or wandering down the little lane at Chessington and Hook, or you know the cheese rolls at Merstham, as everybody always remembers.
I just remember the Battle of Wallingford.
Wow, that was awful.
And you got the steam train. There was a steam train that went along to it, and then all of a sudden it just kicked off. It was just like, what was going on here? And it was police helicopters overhead, and it was just carnage in the bar. But yeah, that was weird. And I think obviously we all remember that we got 111 points. And finished third, which is just absolutely, absolutely crazy. That day could have ringers in for a week.
Yeah. Well, I guess if anyone was going to accuse our podcast of anything, which I'm sure they continue to, official report, I didn't know we were posh the podcast. That's pretty cool. We enjoyed the time at the CCL, but we're not romantics for the CCL. We want Wimbledon to be an amazing club in Wimbledon. And that does depend on being in a really cool position in the league and supporting this tiny stadium we've got and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, our podcast, again, all of our, you know, our big push on fan ownership isn't about, we'll just go back to the combined counties league. Anyone who thinks that also has got the complete wrong end of the stick. I'd be quite happily playing in the Premier League. And in fact, I was quite happy playing in the Premier League, followed by quite happily playing in the combined counties league or whatever the heck. You know, so... Yeah, I think we are a positive podcast.
It's true.
I mean, like Adam, I still remember Paul McGee's 30-yard belter to draw 2-2 at Highbury. It may have only bounced about 87 times before it hit the back of the net. But, you know, that's the sort of game I remember. Or beating Spurs 5-1 at Plough Lane. Yeah. That is brilliant.
We had amazing memories, lads. We're coming towards the end now. I mean, I think the one thing, and this came, I think this was in the Mirror article that was out earlier on this week, and it's been attributed to Trevor, but I think many people have said this before, is that people said that we couldn't start again. We started again. People said that we couldn't get promoted into the league. We got promoted into the league. People said we couldn't get a home ground. Back in Wimbledon, we got a home ground back in Wimbledon, and people are now saying that we can't go further with the club. I would argue that starting again, getting into the league, getting a ground are in a way harder challenges than what will happen in the future. If we get things right, and if everyone buys into it, you know, we can go forwards here, and there's no reason why we can't challenge higher up. And be an inspiration for other clubs as well, and be something to be proud of. You know, when the comms come out and saying we're fans owned, that's a badge of honour. And wherever you go in the world, if ever you talk to people will know that is a badge of honour, and we should all wear it with pride. You know, we really should. And let's play crew. Let's give it our all. Let's get behind it. Let's get that first. Home league win of the season. Chaps, it's been an absolute pleasure. This evening I've been joined by my friend Niall Cooper and Adam Proctor. We are the same old Wombles, the posh podcast. Come and have a slice of your red wine lamb jus with us on a weekly basis. Thank you very much. I've been Matt Cooper.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do, in my life.